What's up, world? Welcome to the Positive Truth, uplifting and positive news for a more progressive society. Tim, what are we trying to bring?
Here at the Positive Truth, we're trying to bring awareness, empowerment, inspiration, optimism, and understanding to communities everywhere. JP, how you feeling?
Well, I just turned on my light in my room, and my light bulb went out, but besides that, I'm good.
Way to stay positive on this positive Wednesday, JP.
You know what I'm going to do when I get a new light bulb?
What are you going to do, man?
I was wondering if you were going to actually ask or you just let me go into it.
I thought you were going to go into it.
I'm going to go green and go buy one of those. I'm going to go buy an energy efficient light bulb because we just did a podcast coming out on Friday about going green in 2017.
Yo, how awesome is that? You know why that's awesome to me?
We're saving the planet and saving ourselves money.
Man, I mean, of course, that's even like more awesome. But saving yourself money is like amazing for sure. But I actually have, you know, my first positive news story is actually, you know, about kind of going green and doing your part.
For real? Let's hear about it, Tim.
Let's hear about this. I'm going to jump right into it, JP.
Let's do it.
If we all did our part, if we all did what we could for our community to help one another, to help the environment as much as we could you imagine how peaceful, how wonderful life would be? These are the words of David Young, an urban farmer in the lower Ninth Ward of New Orleans. Check this out. This dude is like living in New Orleans. You know, Hurricane Katrina happened and it messed up the city. And there's like 30 abandoned lots left over from Hurricane Katrina that like are accessible to the community for free. So he basically went down there and like made 30 gardens out of all these abandoned lots. And now they're the homes of not only new bees, but rescued bees, bees that were, you know, about to become extinct. He decided to save them for himself. You know, like he was like, look, if everybody did their part, we could do a lot. And I'm one person and I made 30 gardens and now these bees are no longer, you know, going extinct. And this is one man, you know what I mean? So I'm just like beyond inspired by this dude because, you know, we all should, you know, plant a tree for every, you know, thing that we're messing up. Because, man, how much paper do you get out of one tree, JP? I know you know this fact.
I don't know that fact.
Well, man, I thought you did.
Why would I know that fact, Tim?
Because, JP, I feel like you're the fact, man. Like, you're like Google. I say something and you're like, yeah, Lion King wasn't that good. You want to know why?
I thought we agreed we weren't going to ruin Lion King for all of our podcast listeners.
I couldn't hold it in anymore. It was, JP, I came home and I was like, hey, babe, check this out. You want to check what JP ruined for me? She Googled it and she freaked out, man. She freaked out. Oh, sorry, that was a little side story right then and there. But JP ruined Lion King for me, so that's that. But anyways, but back to the news story. JP, what were you going to say? I'm sorry, man.
I'm not going to ruin Lion King. I'm just going to tell everyone to Google Kimba the White Lion.
And that's how he ruined it for me.
Continue.
Wow. Yeah, man. This man basically, you know, he built 30 different gardens and he's saving the bees. He's doing his part. And I think it's pretty awesome that, you know, he just basically wants everybody else to do their part. And he can see the vision that a lot of us are starting to wake up and see, man, that peaceful life we could all live if we all work together.
Absolutely, man. Like, I mean, there's nothing really attractive about rundown buildings. There's like an aesthetic sense to it, but like you get an old parking lot, now it's a garden, and it's just amazing.
Yeah, man, it's awesome.
Speaking of going green in 2017, which we're going to talk about on Friday, there is a woman in India. Her name is Mita Tadpatikar. That was probably really bad, but hey, I tried.
No, your confidence was there, man. I enjoyed it.
She helped design a machine in Pune, India, that heats up plastic and converts it into fuel. So check this out. In India, basically, their main 60 cities produce 16,876 tons of plastic a day.
And that's a lot of plastic.
Yeah, if you multiply that by 365, that's 6 million tons of plastic that end up in landfills every single year. So she was like, that's kind of a problem. So she spent all kinds of money, found a group, did some R&D work, and she created a generator that can recycles for every 220 pounds of plastic it uses, it makes like 45 liters of just oil that can be used for like in the kitchen and for like land and for tractors. And it doesn't produce any toxic gases. So far she saved like, I'm getting to the bottom, she saved like 100 metric tons of plastic. That's pretty amazing, right?
I can't even put it into words how awesome that is. That's like, she did this.
Yeah, she's
like, how old is she?
Doesn't have an age.
Man, how awesome is that? I was wondering how old she is, because like,
she said she's been working on it since 2005.
Okay. That's a long time to work on it then.
The first machine she made, it put out toxic fumes, which is the problem with burning plastics. And she kept working at it, and they just now discovered, she just now put it together to where, like 3 years ago, to where there's no toxic emissions from it. And she's been using this machine to lower the amount of plastic on the earth.
Man, that is awesome. That is going green in 2017 for sure.
Absolutely, man. What else you got, Tim?
Dun, dun, dun. My next story. So this man, his name is Corey Hancock of Salem, Oregon. He went for a hike, actually, along the Santiam River. I hope I said that right. And he was just taking photos, and he actually happened to come across a baby bear, which, you know, is a cub. So he came across this cub, and the cub was, like, soaking wet, and it was barely breathing. He wasn't sure, you know, if the bear was alive or dead, and he got close, and he realized it was barely living. And he looked around to see if, you know, there was a mother or anybody around, and there was nothing, nobody, like not a sound or anything. So he waited a couple minutes, nothing came by. So he decided to make a quick decision and pick up the bear. And he posted on Facebook, "Hey, help, I rescued a baby bear that was left for dead. Where do I take it? You know, it's barely breathing and not responsive. I'm heading on the Santiam Highway towards Salem." He had no idea what to do. He kept driving. Every couple minutes, he would stop and check to see if the bear was alive. And he was like, "I'm not sure if it's alive or if it's gonna pass or what's going on." But he ended up driving, and after 10 minutes, he pulled over again because he honestly thought the bear was gone. But he said, "You know what? No matter what, I have to take it, you know, to an animal shelter or something." So he ended up driving to the Turtle Ridge Wildlife Rehab, and it was closed at the time, but they ended up accepting the bear anyways because it was obviously an emergency situation. And they gave the bear a shot of electrolytes, and immediately it started warming up and getting a little bit better. And they gave him some water, hydrating the bear a little bit, and the bear actually ended up living, which is pretty awesome. And basically, long story short, the rehab center said they wanted to let everybody know, you know, if you find a baby cub, leave the cub there because
mom
is vicious. You don't ever want, unless you see the mom die, you don't want to assume that cub is an orphan, because if the mom gets a hold of you, there's nothing anybody can do. So that's the first thing. Second thing, I think this is a beautiful story because this cub actually ended up making it, and how awesome is that? That this human being saw this bear just sitting there, like, "Yeah, I'm gonna help you." You know, I think that's awesome because there's a lot of times that people see dogs on the street that are limping and they walk right by or drive right by and not care. So, shout out to, I can't remember the man's name now, Corey Hancock. Shout out to you, man.
So many statements I have about this.
Go.
Okay, first of all, if I see a baby bear, I'm not checking to see if it's okay. I'm running because I know Mama Bear is probably around.
Just to add on, I was thinking the same thing. I'm not going to lie to you.
I am out. This city kid is out. I'm probably never going to be in the wilderness like that anyway. Okay, number two, you left out the most amazing part of the story. Because I read this, Tim. He picked up the bear and ran a mile and a half back to his car.
Yo, I did read that. Yeah, I just...
So if you think Mama Bear's around, you're not outrunning it for a mile and a half.
You're not outrunning... No, like, you got 40 meters at max, and that's if you're a sprinter. If you're not a sprinter, it's just over for you, man.
And you better hope Mama Bear can't climb trees and you can find one. So he ran for, like, a mile and a half with this baby bear in, like, the rain. Drove, saved the bear. Braver man than I. Braver man than I.
He's a hero, man.
Speaking of animals, do you know what a manatee is?
I do.
You know they're no longer listed as endangered anymore.
Man, I did not know that. How awesome is that? Go ahead and tell me more.
I mean, that's kind of it.
Ah.
I have a coworker. Well, she's not. She doesn't work with me anymore. When she first started, she was like, "What's your spirit animal, JP?" And you know, I made a joke because I make a joke out of most things in life, and I was like, "Probably the Grinch."
Why would you say that?
Just for the reaction. She was like, "Okay, mine's a manatee," and I was like, "Wait, what? A manatee?" She gave me this breakdown of like how she loves manatees, blah blah blah. They're endangered. I saw this story, I texted to her like, "How do you feel about this?" She was like, "It makes me so happy." So, I'm happy manatees aren't disappearing either. That's the only thing else I have for it.
No, man, that's an awesome backstory, like, for sure. That's awesome, though.
Tim, what else you got?
Man, so my next story is about these teachers. They created an awesome bakery/bakery to employ adults with autism. So I'm going to share this video up on Facebook, so make sure you guys check it out at the Positive Truth Podcast. But basically, they decided to create a job where there's a big need for adults with autism to be employed. A lot of people wonder what's going on, you know, in life, like when you're 18, 19, 20 years old. We're trying to figure stuff out. We're going to college, we're getting jobs, we're trying to just grow up, you know? That's the normal thing to do.
That's how I feel right now, actually.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though. Like, we're still going through at this time, but think about this. Like, you know, in high school, we see there's certain kids that have autism. You know, they have special education classes for them, and we see them in high school, but what do you think they do after high school?
No idea.
Exactly. Their social life, while they're, you know, at teenagers and stuff, is school, and outside of school, most of the time they're at home. And when they become adults, how often, you know, it's not very easy to find a job when you have autism, when you're on the spectrum at all. So the fact that this bakery is deciding to open up jobs for people that have the spectrum, that are on the spectrum, I think is awesome. They actually employed 6 people right now that are on the spectrum. A couple of them work from home. A couple of them work in the bakery as a cook or not a cook, a baker. Wow, I said a cook for bakery. As a baker, one of them works in delivery. I mean, I think this is so awesome. I'm going to share this story on Facebook at the Positive True Podcast. Please, please check this video out and share it if you think it's awesome, because this is definitely showing awareness a little bit. Like, people need to buy on and do what they're doing here, you know? There's plenty of jobs out there that plenty of other people can do, and somebody with autism that can handle a job for you, why not? You know, they need it. They need a social life as well, you know?
Absolutely, man. That's an amazing story.
Tú sabes.
Do we know what they're doing in the bakery?
Yeah, man. There's a couple of them that are actually baking. There's one person that works from home because it's a more sensitive place for him to be. 5 employees. Hold on 1 second, sir.
Okay.
Dun, dun, dun. 5 employees work in the kitchen making treats and packaging them for sale. And yeah, the 1 employee works from home. It's a more sensory-friendly environment. They're actually getting ready to open up more jobs where the customer's going to be able to interact with the customers, or the customers. The employees are going to be able to interact with the customers a little bit more, which I think is going to be amazing for everybody because it's going to show that the business is backing what they're trying to do.
Yeah, that's a great story, man.
Tú sabes.
My next story is actually going back to the gardening thing you were talking about with the bees. Researchers have used a small drone. They develop a small drone to help pollinate flowers. So it's a really, really, really tiny drone, probably like hand size. And it goes around with pollen underneath it, and it just helps spread pollen for flowers. Like, since we're having a problem with bees and butterflies, it helps the insects and everything pollinate flowers in the area.
That's awesome.
There's a video of it working, and it's kind of crazy, man. It's like, you remember you go to the mall and they have those big ones?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And no one can ever fly them except the person that works there. These are like really small ones that are just really efficient. I just think it's a great idea.
That is dope. I like your explanation of that. Really small ones that are just really efficient. That is awesome.
Tim, what else you got?
JP, I only had 3 today.
Oh, okay. Well, I got one.
All right, cool.
It's a follow-up, because we love our follow-ups. You remember Chance the Rapper?
Do you remember how
he donated $1 million to the Chicago public schools?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Remember how Beyonce, following his lead, donated $1 million to Brooklyn public schools?
Yes, sir.
Well, Chance has donated another, basically $10,000 to 12 more schools. And he has started in the Chicago Public School District a Chance Arts and Literature Fund. That's basically, it's going to 12 middle school and high schools. And what it's going to do is, it's going to be a project in the school that's going to help students, like, they're going to go study the musical Hamilton, and then they get to go see it downtown. They get to build a mural on their school building, and it's going to show them how to record music. And it's going to be in 6 middle schools and 6 high schools in the Chicago area, and he's going to fund that too.
How awesome is that?
Just keeps going, man. All this
the positivity is just, it's amazing.
Absolutely.
It's life.
Tim, do you have a positive quote for us before
we
get
out of
here?
Yes, sir. But before I tell you guys this positive quote, make sure you guys are following us on Facebook at The Positive True Podcast, on Twitter at TPT_podcast, on iTunes, YouTube, Google Play, and SoundCloud. But to end this episode, I'm going to end this with a nice positive quote, and it is, an attitude of positive expectation is the mark of the superior personality. Brian Tracy.
I love it, Tim. Everyone stay positive. We'll be back with more positive news stories on Monday and Wednesday. This Friday, we're going to talk about going green in 2017. We're out.
Stay positive.